But I'd like you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. As we go through life, I'm sure that you're not terribly different from myself, but periodically I end up asking the question, Lord, what on earth is going on? I find that as I become familiar with the news, I realize that the news is very, very sad. What is happening in our world? And over the last few days, I've been marveling at three major phenomena that we see in the world. One, number one is the inroads of Islam. The Middle East was big in our minds for many years because the Lord was doing a great work in Israel. But Islam has taken a very bold turn to the aggression. I shouldn't really use the word turn. It has always been very aggressive against the gospel. It is a religion of aggression and violence, and we just haven't noticed it that much. But recently, it has become a very, very bold force, and we are alarmed by it. The refugees are flooding Europe and elsewhere. And I just been amazed at the honor given to Muhammad Ali in the last few days. He is being hailed by many as the greatest. As a matter of fact, he is not the greatest. And we've heard all kinds of arrogant stories from him, how he got the name the greatest. He bestowed it upon himself. I was amazed to find out that his family were with him when he died. His fourth wife was there. Whatever happened to high morals in the lives of those who pretend to be the greatest? I did hear this story about Muhammad Ali. I think it maybe bears repetition. He was on an airplane. The stewardess said, put your seatbelt on. He said, Superman don't need no seatbelt. The stewardess said, Superman don't need no airplane. Put your seatbelt on. And there comes a time when you say, what's going on? And isn't it about time that we look at reality? We talked a little bit about morals. We live in a world where God-given morals are not just rejected, they are despised. In Romans chapter 1, when the terrible degradation associated with morals is discussed, we have the closing line that says something like, who knowing the judgment of God? I better read it to you because I'm going to misquote it terribly. That's Romans chapter 1 and the last verse. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The homosexuality tragedy in our day goes under the name of pride. They take pride in the evil that they are involved in, and they're calling bad good and good bad, and they know it's shameful, but they are proud of it. What's going on in our world? We used to hear of about a Pride Day. I just read last week, didn't I, that we're talking about Pride Month. What a terrible world we live in. Morality is the high standard of God. Which of our political leaders has a high moral standard in his own personal life? leaders here, leaders in the United States, Muhammad Ali being one example. What about the moral life of the others who wish to have people vote for them? They live high standards? No. What's wrong? I think about legislation. And all over the world, legislation is going in the wrong direction. Big deal in Canada is assisted dying. Well, we deserve the right to die, and we deserve the right to kill other people who would like to die. The law is so bad, some of us are involved in Blenheim Lodge, the law is so bad that if it passes as it's presently stated, Blenheim Lodge will not be able to refuse to kill people who live there who want to die. And the staff will not be able to say, no, I am not going to agree to kill you. What's wrong with our society? If you were to look at legislation, you would probably conclude that the national religion in Canada is immorality and the environment. They're the only things that are really important to people. So, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Does it surprise us that these terrors, that these distresses are upon us? Those of us who've read the Bible, we can clearly see the consequences of what is on the horizon. It's going from bad to worse, and it's going to go. We can predict the way it will go and how severely it will go. What a tragedy. This is what's going to happen, verse 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. 19 characteristics. What are they characteristics of? They're very, very parallel, actually, these 19, to the many, I think it's 28, mentioned in Romans chapter 1. The floodgate of evil opens following moral breakdown, and evil floods over the society. Here we have these terrible consequences, similar to those from Romans chapter 1, in the context of the professing church. What's the answer? And there are several answers. What do we do in the light of the fact that the world is in deep distress? Here's answer number one. From such, turn away. Don't have anything to do with these. Turn away from that which is evil. Don't compromise with it. Don't fraternize with it. Turn away. Don't get involved. Abraham comes as the example to me. You'll remember that Abraham went to Canaan, and he lived in a tent, and he lived alone, separate from the Canaanites. He went down into Egypt. When he got down into Egypt, he compromised with evil, got himself into a terrible mess, came out, but Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Don't pitch your tent toward Sodom. Our tragedy is that it isn't that so much that we have gone to Sodom, it is that Sodom has come to us. But from such, turn away. You remember that Abraham pleaded with God regarding Sodom and God concluded that he wouldn't destroy Sodom for 50 righteous there, nor would he for 10. But Abraham got up early in the morning and watched the next day as the vengeance of God fell upon Sodom. And I'm not sure what Abraham thought. He may have thought that He may have thought that he was wrong in concluding that Sodom would not have been destroyed because there were 10. On the other hand, he may have thought that God was wrong and didn't live up to his promises. All we know is that he heads down to Gerar and gets into trouble with Abimelech, the king of the Philistines down there. Don't get discouraged. Don't get involved with them. Turn away from these evils. That's number one. Verse 6 says, "For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Many have suggested that this is a picture of the cults that arise in our day and that many people get involved in them to their own great, great distress. Stay away from the cults. She often sat in this auditorium. She listened to the message of the gospel. Some people came along to her, said, "We've got more of the gospel than you get, that you get in your church. You come along and listen to us." She did. And tragedy is the end of that story. False teaching is going to be part and parcel of our age. There will be false teachers everywhere. And enticing false teachers. Jannes and Jambres were probably those men who, when Moses stood before Pharaoh, were able to turn their rods into serpents and able to turn water into blood and able to bring forth frogs. That's pretty powerful stuff. That's what our day is going to be leading to. What are we going to do? We're going to turn away from all of this. Verse 10. "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." What's that all about? Well, the question, of course, is, who are you going to follow? There's all kinds of the miracle workers out there. The Jannes and the Jambres. And some of them will purport to do their great work in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, probably most of them will. And they'll carry a Bible. And they'll talk about the kinds of things that we talk about. I'm not sure who it was, but his comment was, they have the same words as we have. It's just that they have a different dictionary. And they're saying the same kind of thing, and we could be confused by them. And what are we going to do? Timothy, you know where you heard all this. Mark the men, the women of God, and follow them. A lot of people say, you know, I like it. I can listen to really good preachers on the radio. You don't know anything about the really good preachers on the radio. You've never met them. Who do you follow? You follow those you know. And you watch their lives. And brothers and sisters, they're following us. They're following you. And they must. And they should. And you and I must be exemplary in every way, because there must be a human credibility to the gospel. And it is us. Timothy, you keep following me. Why? Well, Timothy, you already know all about me. You know those 9 things that were listed about me. In particular, Timothy, you know all the persecutions and afflictions that befell me at Lystra and at Iconium and at Antioch. You know all about that. Timothy, you know I'm real. Make sure that your life is real, Timothy. Don't go following the deceivers out there. Jannes and Jambres are pretty crafty guys. The appeal of the evil. How is the evil propagated in our day? It is extremely appealing. Turn away from it. Verse 14 is the verse that I love. It says, but continue in the things which thou hast learned. What do? We continue. Okay? Continue. And you say, oh, but I'm getting weary. Some of us are getting old. I don't know if the rest of you have noticed that. But some of us are getting old. And so we sit back and we say, well, maybe it would be time to. No, it isn't. Continue. Moses, Caleb, continued to great age. Jehoiada, continued at great age. Continue. Timothy, continue. Mommy, continue. Daddy, continue. Sister, brother, continue. All kinds of discouragements out there. Continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, verse 14, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, you learned it from me. Timothy, you learned it from your mother. Timothy, you learned it from your grandmother. Don't turn away from the witness, the godly witness of your mother and your grandmother and that family. By the grace of God into which he brought you, the touch of the truth of God, continue. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly finished unto all good works. And so in time past they held it high and they said, sola scriptura, sola scriptura. Latin, I think it is. It simply means all we need is the scriptures. All we need are the scriptures. I think it was Robert Mullen who fellowshiped with us probably in 1949, who when he was in Japan as a missionary, convicted about his need for the Word of God, said, Lord, I'm not going to read anything for a year other than the Bible. What are we going to do? We're going to continue. We're going to continue remembering the great men and women of God who were before us and are around us, and by the grace of God will follow us, and we're going to continue in the book. And the world around will come up with all manner of new things and all manner of terrible things. And what are we going to do? We're going to say all scripture is given by inspiration for God and is profitable. We're not just going to read one page or another page. By the grace of God, we're going to read all scripture. And we're going to grow thereby. Chapter 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He will, you know. Judgment day is coming. It's not just coming for the, those who've rejected the Lord. I don't know if you caught it on the radio this week. I almost never listened to Charles Stanley. But I was driving along one morning, I don't know whether it was Wednesday morning, I guess. He had a sermon on the Great White Throne Judgment that was absolutely outstanding. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, including those portions that talk about the judgment that lies ahead. Judgment day is coming. Timothy, I charge you in the light of the judgment day that's coming. What do you do, Timothy? Preach the word. Preach the word. Who'd you tell about the Lord Jesus yesterday? Who'd you tell about the Lord Jesus last week? You and I think we're troubled by what's going on in the world. How much more confused and troubled must they be out there who don't know the truth of God? Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Yeah, why is that there? Probably because if you preach the word a lot, you're going to suffer a lot. And doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Islam would say, best thing you Christians can do is just shut up. Convert, shut up. They give three opportunities, don't they? You can either convert, or you can pay a huge amount of your money, wealth, capital, and income, or you can be killed. Those are your three alternatives. And the Christian says, no, they're all wrong. We are going to keep on preaching Jesus. Preach the word. Don't get discouraged. Don't get distressed. And when people tell you what's going on, you give them the answer. And if they don't ask you the question about what's going on, then why don't you tell them what's going on until they do ask the question? That's a powerful way of evangelism, by the way. If you just start talking to people and you say, well, what do you think? And then you mention all the bad things that are going on. Pretty soon they're going to say, wow, this is terrible. What do we do? You say, oh, good, you asked that question. And then you tell them all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Preach the word. That's what we're going to do by the grace of God today and this week and over the summer and into the months and years that lie ahead as God would enable us. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all. What are the next words? I can't even find them on the page. And I've long suffering and godliness. Is that what it says? They're there. We're going to do it. Long suffering and doctrine. Lord, we do become distressed. We don't go through the world with our eyes closed. We're to be watching in all things. But Lord, we need strength and wisdom and conviction to keep on going boldly with the truth of God, because there are so many who reject the truth of God out there. And even, Lord, in the professing church, there are so many who are rejecting the truth of God. And Lord, help us to be loving and gracious and kind, but help us to keep on telling this old world about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you for drawing us together this morning. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and all he means to each one of us. And we pray, Lord, that we will go from this place with a renewed conviction to love and to worship and to follow and to serve our blessed Savior, for whom we give thanks again. Amen.